All right. Hey, did you know that in many traditions in Christianity, it's a tradition, actually, to tell jokes on Easter? Easter, particularly on this day, anybody wake up to any practical jokes on this April Fool's Day? Any pranks happen? Not yet. There's a few in the back pockets, I presume. I saw some, you know those little Cadbury eggs, those chocolate eggs? You know those tiny little ones? They're prolific everywhere, like you trip on them and stuff like that. I saw some that someone had meticulously opened up the tinfoil, taken out the chocolate and put in a grape, and then put it back together for their kids to find. I heard also of some invisible chocolate Easter egg hunts that some kid people sent their kids on. Can you imagine? That's kind of cruel, I think. That's cold-blooded. That's right. Oh, gosh. I remember years ago, the best practical joke that I was ever involved in, I was living in YWAM on a little base, and we had those ATCO trailers, like those removable, like those kind of portable trailers. And there was a bedroom in one side with me and my roommate, and a bedroom in the other side. You'll know the ones, Teresa, you were probably there a few years later. And we had this war going back and forth, my roommate and me and the other guys living in the next dorm over. And who could one-up each other? Well, we one-upped them when they were gone for a whole day, and we spent the whole day meticulously taking apart every single piece of their bedroom, their clothes, their books, their bookshelves, their beds. We even disassembled, took them all apart, and rebuilt the whole thing on the roof of the trailer. So when they came back, you can imagine their surprise at what happened there. Humorists will tell us that surprise is one of the key elements of humor, of jokes, of practical jokes. And Easter is full of these kind of surprises. Even practical jokes, it might seem, you might think. If you were here early enough, you'll have heard Rochelle read that Mary thought Jesus' body was stolen. That's what she thought at first. Peter can't work out what the heck happened to these grave clothes, that he just finds them lying in the tomb. Where's the body? What has gone on here? The disciples don't get the scriptures. They're not putting it together. They can't make sense of it. Even though Jesus said, hey, 3 days later, guess what? Surprise! But they didn't get it at that time. The road to Emmaus. Remember that story? Two disciples walking and Jesus shows up with them. Surprise! And then he vanishes. Puzzlement is a mark of this story's authenticity. Who would write the story of your Lord and kind of write in all these people not getting it? It's a kind of a hint that, hey, maybe there's some authenticity to this whole Jesus' resurrection. And today, April Fool's Day, we celebrate the day. One way to look at it is the devil got the biggest prank of the universe, actually. And that's why a lot of churches tell jokes on Easter Sunday, to celebrate the prank, God's big joke on the devil. Remember back in the beginning? There was a tree of knowledge and good and evil. And us humans gave the keys to death. In our rebellion, we gave the keys to death to the devil. On Good Friday, on a cross, probably a lot bigger than this and a lot more gruesome, actually, Jesus took back those keys to death. And that's what we celebrate this morning, right? He took back those keys. And that's why, I don't know if you've read in your reading the story of Easter. There's a little part in there where it says, on Good Friday, what happened? I mean, Jesus died, he was crucified. Then what happened? As soon as he said it's finished, what happened? There was an earthquake. What else happened? The veil was torn. What else happened? Like, there was graves, tombs that were cracked open, Do you hear about this? You read about this? And the dead were raised to life and started walking around the city of Jerusalem. Surprise! Can you imagine? Put yourself in their shoes for just a moment. Like, here's grandma. Like, we put her in that tomb last year. And somehow, because Jesus died and went down to Hades, to hell, to the devil, grabbed those keys, there's grandma walking around alive. Surprise! This is the biggest joke, biggest prank of the century. Imagine their surprise. Let me read to you a few passages of scripture here and listen for the surprise that's there. This is Matthew 28. After the Sabbath ended, at the first light of dawn, just like we celebrated this morning, all was dark. And then that first light of dawn, the windows opened and the light shone in. On the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to take a look at the tomb. Suddenly, the earth shook violently again beneath their feet as the angel of the Lord Jehovah descended from heaven. Lightning flashed around him and his robe was dazzling white. The guards were stunned and terrified, lying motionless like dead men. The angel walked up to the tomb, rolled away the stone, and sat on top of it. What does that tell you? This is like rolling this thing away, this instrument of containment, and he sat on it. Just imagine that. What was on his face? Or her face, or its face. I don't know, angel's gender, doesn't matter. What do you imagine was the expression on that angel's face as he sat, he, she, whatever, sat on top of that big stone? I think it was kind of like a, I don't know, you can imagine for yourself. The women, though, at all of this, were breathless and terrified. Surprise! Until the angel said to them, "There's no reason to be afraid. I know you're looking here for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He's risen victoriously, just as he said. Come inside the tomb and see the place where our Lord was laying. Then run and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead and give them this message. I'm going ahead of you to Galilee and you'll see me there." So they rushed quickly to tell the disciples, and their hearts were in deep wonder and filled with great joy. You can read, surprise, like what the heck has gone on here? Along the way, Jesus suddenly appeared in front of them and said, surprise! No, he actually didn't, but you might as well say that. Rejoice, he said. They were so overwhelmed by seeing him that they bowed down and grasped his feet in adoring worship. Then Jesus said to them, "Throw off all your fears. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee and they will find me there." Let me read you another part of the story. Mary arrived back at the tomb broken and sobbing. She stooped to peer inside, and through her tears, she saw two angels in dazzling white robes sitting where Jesus' body had been laid, one at the head and one at the feet. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" they asked. Mary answered, "They've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've laid him." Then she turned around to leave, and there was Jesus standing in front of her, but she didn't realize it was him. He said to her, "Dear woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" Does that question strike you as funny? Jesus saying, "Who are you looking for?" Mary answered, thinking he was only the gardener, "Sir, if you've taken his body somewhere else, tell me and I will go." And Mary, Jesus interrupted her. Surprise. This is what we celebrate this morning. This is why we brought our dancing shoes. This is why all these beautiful scarves. By the way, it's not a free-for-all. If you put your scarf up there and you want it back, come and get it after the service. If you want to share it, that's fine too. But that's why these scarves are laying across this instrument of death, really. This is why we celebrate communion on this, the most holy day in all of Christian history that we celebrate. This central meal that celebrates Jesus' broken body, broken into pieces like these gluten-free crackers. They're all gluten-free, just so you know. But we come as one body to celebrate his broken body. And we come as one to celebrate his blood that was poured out for us. The new covenant of my blood shed for you. Let me read from 2 Corinthians here. For it is Christ's love that fuels our passion and motivates us, because we are absolutely convinced that he has given his life for all of us. This means all died with him, so that those who live should no longer live self-absorbed lives, but lives that are poured out for him, the one who died for us and now lives again. Now, if anyone is enfolded into Christ, he has become an entirely new creation. All that is related to the old order has vanished. Behold, everything is fresh and new, and God has made all things new and reconciled us to himself and given us the ministry of reconciling others to God. He's made all things new. And his newness, as he was raised from the dead, that can be ours too. And as followers of Jesus, it is ours. Yeah, we live in the tension, kind of between Good Friday and Easter Sunday a lot of the time. But here we are on Easter Sunday celebrating his new life. How might he want to surprise you this morning? I don't know. And I guess that's kind of the nature of the surprise, isn't it? If you knew how he was going to surprise you this morning, it wouldn't be a surprise. All we can do is come to the table, open ourselves up, and say, I'm open to you. How do you want to show up this morning? How do you want to be present to me? How do you want to be present to us? And see what happens. So can we do that this morning? Can we come to this table celebrating Jesus' death, celebrating his resurrection, welcoming that great surprise when God just seemed to turn everything upside down, inside out, and see how he'd want to be present with us? Can we do that? Yes or no? Okay, good. So that's what we're going to do. And it's packed in here. It's going to be awkward. But hey, guess what? I kind of think the resurrection was a little bit awkward. I kind of think it was like a little bit off-putting. Like it was uncomfortable. Those disciples were up in the upper room. They were scared. A word I can't say right now. And Jesus shows up. Surprise. How does he want to? He wants to show up. He wants to show up to each of us this morning. He wants to make himself known to each of us. And all we can do is say, okay, okay. And the best place to do that is around this table. So I invite you to, over the next however long we've got a lot of stuff still planned, many songs. But come to this table, do your business. What is it that's separating you from the Lord? There might be some sin that you need to repent of. There might be some, just some areas of your life you just need to open up to Him. So I invite you to come and to do that and to receive these crackers, His body, which is broken for us, and this juice, which symbolizes His blood, which is poured out for us. And see how He'd want to surprise you this morning. Okay? So let's stand up.